Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. I am your host, Marie Langley, and welcome to our show today. Divine Goddess Radio's mission is to empower, enlighten, and educate. And we are on twice a month now, and we would love to have you follow our shows on Blog Talk Radio and also follow us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, find Divine Goddess Radio, and like our page. Beth and I also do readings. You can go to our website, divinegoddessradio.com, and you can schedule a reading with either Beth or myself or together. And we also do goddess parties. So if you're interested in finding out about goddess parties, you can call either Beth at 651-900-4136, or you can call Marie at 651-303-0555. And, you know, the goddess parties can be done in person. They can be done over Skype, over phone. We can come to you. We have no problem with that. So if you're interested, again, let us know. You can shoot us an email, too, at divinegoddessradio.com. And today we're going to have a really, really good show. It's called Journey Back to the Goddess. And we are going to be interviewing Renee Starr, who is a master mythologist, storyteller, and life coach. And she's also written a fabulous book. So welcome, Renee.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yes. So before we jump into the topic, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Thank you. Well, let's see. I love ancient wisdom, and I really enjoy finding ways to bring it into my modern life. And I thought I would turn that into a movement. And so Back to the Goddess was born. It's been an amazing journey, a beautiful journey. The book has taken me on a beautiful goddess ride. And I presented it to the world this September, and it's had such wonderful response, really good movement, and I'm very excited. I've been interested in mythology all of my life and started rewriting some of women's sacred stories, our mythic history, and rewriting it so that we would have a more modern access or approachability or understanding of it. So that we weren't always looking at the ancient woman, we could actually look at a modern woman in the ancient myth, and that's been one of my incredible pet projects, to really revive that in the world, yeah.
Wow, okay. and so how did you get started into this?
It's a good question. I have been involved in Earth goddess spirituality for many, many years. I would say my entire adult life, and seeking and searching for her, the goddess, the divine feminine. And this came from, I didn't realize it until much later, but it came from an estrangement with my actual mother. And I moved out into the world on my own at a very young age, and realized I didn't really relate to my daughter persona anymore, and I wasn't really involved with any elder figures. I didn't have a mom in my life, and I started to crave something, some sort of connection to that essence of being a daughter and having a mother. And so I started to develop my spirituality, and in the days when I was doing this, we didn't really have the internet at that time. It came out much later. Mm-hmm. And you know, there were very few books on the market, but the ones that were, I grabbed, and I started to develop a goddess spirituality, an earth-based, very harmonious, whole-based spirituality, and found my divine mother within that. And so that has been a joy of my life. It's been an incredible, you know, journey with her, coming back to her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's a heavy answer to a light question.
No, that's okay. So you said you came back to the goddess, so you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yes, the goddess never leaves the world or us. She is one of the principal essences of the world, the other being the divine masculine. And God, our word for God these days is more a whole word, which encompasses both the masculine and the feminine aspect of it. But the goddess is the feminine personification of the divine feminine. So coming back to her means that I turned my attention, my focus, my devotion to her, and I found my way back to her. She was always waiting, always there. And coming back is a sweet journey. It's an amazing path to be on.
Wow. Okay. So then do you feel like today's modern women, do you feel like they're out of balance and they need to get back to the goddess?
Yes. They need to get back to their inner goddessness and mm-hmm. their recognition of their divine feminine qualities that they carry within them, and the fact that they embody the goddess. That we are made to look like her, be like her, express like her. We are her in physical form. And this is something that historically was known very, very long time ago, you know, pre-pagan times, pre-biblical times. You know, the early earth-based religions were very goddess-friendly, and they mm-hmm. understood that the world was both masculine and feminine, not one or the other, not matriarchal or patriarchal, but both. And this is the balance that we lack today and that I'm hoping to restore in the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's interesting. You know, we have, obviously, we're Divine Goddess Radio.
Yes, I love that.
Well, you know, because when we came up with that idea, it was to honor the goddess in all of us, because we really felt that the goddess energy has really, really come back and is coming back to embody everyone. So it's really interesting that you wrote about this.
Yes.
So where does the goddess concept come from?
Well, it comes from early people's recognition of two polar dual essences in the world. They looked at each other as humans and they said, oh, there's woman, oh, there's man. And then they looked at plants, flowers, animals, trees, and the polarity of everything from weather to seasonal cycles, and they noticed that they were reflecting the masculine and feminine, that it was everywhere, it was in everything. And so they started to make really deep recognitions to what was feminine and what was masculine. So things that were very propulsive and action-based and very direct were masculine. Things that held direct, overt power were masculine. And things that were very receptive, very soft, muted, and very water-based, very flowing were feminine. And the world became assigned, so to speak, you know, they recognized this, and then they began to form religious spiritual practices around it, ceremony around it, and it became very reverent for them. And then it grew into mythical stories and teachings and, you know, on and on it went. And then the patriarchal movement rose and squelched it and, you know, reestablished all the goddesses as one, and you were only allowed to look at Mary as a mm-hmm. goddess, but she wasn't called a goddess, she was the mother. And mm-hmm. so, you know, she sort of embodied for the pagan people all their goddesses. And she was given to them as a sort of door prize, like, you know, okay, you're not really buying this religion because there's no female, you know, archetype there. Well, okay, we'll give you Mary. She was a really good one to give you. And so there she is. And I adore her for that. Mary carried an awful lot for us for a long, long time. Her archetype, her mythical archetype carried a lot of weight for women for many, 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 many years. So we really honor her.
Yes. Oh, yes. She definitely is one that comes in when compassion is needed. I mean, she's...
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, so I was reading about your book, which is called You Are mm-hmm. Woman, You Are Divine. And you talk about mythology and about the seven myths. So can you mm-hmm. talk about that?
Yes. There are actually nine in the book, but seven major myths that I've chosen to embody, nine total of the many, many, many qualities of the goddess. I chose nine 9 that I thought would be very helpful for the modern woman. And the book starts with Nut, the Egyptian sky goddess.
Okay.
And she represents harmony between the masculine and feminine and our duality. And then I move on to Lilith, who is a biblical Sumerian goddess of power, a female primitive sexual power. And then the Yoruban and also Santerian African Cuban goddess Yemaya, who really, she gives us her fantastic force of creative life essence, so our creativity as women. And the tantric and Buddhist goddess White Tara for stillness, which is woman's natural state of being, something that every single one of us must restore to our lives in order to restore our feminine balance. The goddess, the Hindu goddess Radha for passion, one of my favorite goddesses for passion. Yeah, she's very delicious. Her story was just a delight. Every story was a delight to write, but each one of them has their own personality. And then the ancient Greek myth of Cassandra, and she isn't really a goddess. She was a mortal woman involved with a god, but she was such a powerful archetype that I rose her status to goddess. So the goddess Cassandra for our voice and our intuitive voice most especially. And the Lakota Native American white buffalo calf woman for wisdom. She's a very powerful goddess of prophecy and wisdom and earth-based wholeness and really recognizing that we are part of everything. And then we have the biblical goddess Eve for awakening. And the book completes with the ancient Egyptian goddess Isis for remembering and becoming whole.
Wow.
I know, quite a journey, if you can imagine. And, you know, writing this book, what happened, I was so surprised by this, how long it took to write the book. I thought it would be done in half the time. And it really took almost 3 years, and I went through every single one of the goddess's teachings that I was writing about. So by the end of the book, I was wiped. I even mentioned in the book, I hope your journey is as sweet and powerful and, you know, and filled with all of the stuff they have to offer you as mine was while writing it. Because, and I'm hearing from women all over the world that their journey with this book is very powerful, that they are going through something as they read it. It's very transforming.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, okay, so then out of these 9, then these are the qualities that women can tap into, right? So that's what they would take these qualities?
Yes, they would start to recognize that they actually already embody them. They're innate within them, and they would start to activate them. So these aren't things you need to acquire or get or bring in. These are things that you would want to activate as a woman in the modern world. So, for example, we're very out of balance with our masculine and feminine essence, and men are out of balance because we are. They're out of balance with their masculine and their feminine. And the world is out of balance in this way. So by, you know, reading the myth of Nut and learning her teachings, you can start to see ways, you can become inspired to see how you can balance that, and so on with each of the goddesses.
Okay. Now, do you do that through meditation? Is that you sit down and you meditate and you ask each goddess to come in?
You can. I do offer a nice, juicy section in every one of the 7 major myths of ritual work that you can do, and it involves journaling, meditation, sacred bathing, anointing with oils, altar building. And, you know, those are very, what I would call, passive ways of beginning, and I chose them because, you know, to throw activism at a woman who's just starting off on this path or returning to it after a long while of being away, you don't want to overstimulate this. You don't want to burden you with, oh, I have to do all these things. I'm a really big fan of what I call simple goddess magic. So I want to inspire you to take what's at hand, what's very available, what's simple, what's easy, what's modern, what's real, what's accessible, and use it for your magical, your ritual, your ceremonial return to your relationship with the goddess who's waiting, open arms, open heart for you.
Okay. Interesting.
Because
I have goddesses that I work with. You know, but they're usually there's usually like two or three that are around me all the time.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Yeah, but it's interesting, you know, as you, because when you were going through the list of all of them, it was like, oh, she's a new one. I wonder, you know,
yeah.
I would love to tap into
yeah.
her, you know, so.
Yes. You'll find that these goddesses, the ones that I've chosen, are very universally agreeable. They're not mm-hmm. so obscure that you have to, you know, wonder what they're about. Their stories came through so fully and so richly that they wrote themselves. I literally sat down, wrote the story, and that was the end of it. It wasn't a lot of editing. It just came through. They were channeled through.
Wow.
And they had such personality. They woke me up at 4 a.m. to tell their story. They made me pull over on the side of the road and dictate into my phone. And, you know, they were just so happy as, you know, devas, to come through as essences to come into the modern world. They were so excited that we would be interested in their story today.
Oh yeah, and I think it's the right timing anyway, you know, for people
yeah.
to become more aware and to start integrating a lot of the
yeah.
the goddess power, so that we
mm-hmm.
are reminded that we are goddesses as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so powerful and so important. You know, in the book I mentioned that everything in the world, all human life and most animal life, except for the seahorse, who puts a wrench in my theory. The seahorse is the only animal that does not come through the feminine. But everything else on the planet must come through the feminine to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so when I speak with women, when I coach them, I call it goddess coaching when I do that, I say, where are you out of balance? Because wherever you are out of balance, that is causing imbalance in all of your relationships, all of your flow in life. So we pinpoint where that imbalance is, we heal it, we put it right, and then you watch your life begin to flow. And one of the most important ways that I teach this is through lunar alignment, lunar cyclical alignment. And for women, the moon is extraordinarily powerful as a guide and a tool. Yeah.
Mhm. Wow. So then you do something that's called a goddess circle, right? So what is a goddess circle?
Yes, I do. I have a monthly priestess course that is a 9-month course that you can sign up on from my website, and you can take it. It's a home study course at any time, and I also do in-person, if you're in the Los Angeles area, I do in-person goddess circles. And I'm also taking them on the road very soon. The first one is Sedona. Oh. And I'm very excited. That one, the circles are a way for women to come together in kinship and sisterhood and learn about the moon and its cycles and its effect and its guidance and its essence in your life, and how to devote to the goddess within, the goddess herself, how to recognize your divine feminine essence. And so each month we focus on a different moon phase. You anoint with oils. Everyone goes home with bath salts. It's a very rich community experience that we lack today. Many women don't do this. I mean, you'll notice if there's a baby shower, women are always so excited to gather
mm-hmm.
because we love it. You know, it's part of our nature to be a circle, to be a community, to be whole, to be in harmony. So it's really, I'm hoping to revive a lot of that for the modern woman. So it's not inaccessible. It's not a bunch of women in white flowing robes who are doing ritual. You don't understand what's happening. It's modern women gathering to practice and to devote.
Wow.
Although
that
I do like
very powerful
flowing robes every now and then.
Do you time it around the full moon?
I time it around 9 different phases of the moon.
Oh,
so,
okay.
There's a full lunation of the moon is 9 phases, and it can start on any phase. So my favorite phase to begin with is the dark moon. And
mm-hmm.
so you work from the dark moon to the next dark moon, and you pick the major phases.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
that
very powerful.
Yeah. So, you know, I know if people are listening, they're hearing us talking about women and goddesses. But there's going to be that question. When you talk about goddesses, there might be some that say, okay, is your book against men? Are you saying that goddesses are more powerful than gods? So what would you say to that?
Love that question, because I could not be more man-friendly. I'm so happy there are men. I love them. And this book is a gift to them, to be quite honest, because if we as women restore ourselves, then they are able to restore themselves, and it's through us that that happens. So it is a gift as well for the men of the world. And no, the goddess is not more powerful than the masculine, or the feminine is not more powerful than the masculine at all. They must work together. They were designed to interlace, interlock, intertwine. They are beloved to each other. It's this standing next to each other that eclipses any imaginary equality that you desire. You don't desire real equality. You desire parallel power, you know, and parallel dance. You want to stand next to the essence that complements you, that is designed to work with you. So no, the book is in no way a male-bashing book. In fact, I teach in the book and in my coaching work how to heal your collective and current wounds with men. And this is for women who are heterosexual, bisexual, trans, any woman, anyone who identifies themselves as a woman, to heal this wound with men, with the male, with the masculine. It's very powerful that we heal this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, do you feel that the goddess energy, though, is really coming into that more men are starting to experience it?
Yes, because we are as women. So they are watching us really transform into a goddess on earth, and they want that. I really like to think of it this way, that we are a temple, and our doors have been closed for quite some time. And now we've spruced up the temple, we've lit the candles, the incense is you know, trailing out the door, and it's attracting everyone, women, men. And for them to come in and be devotees, for men to come into this temple, we have to be a very strong and whole and healthy priestess. We have to know our stuff. We have to know our walk and our talk so that we can invite them in and we can share space with them in harmony and love and you know, devotion.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Maybe
you can tell that I like to elevate everything up to this place. So, you know, if we're talking about sex, I want to elevate it to sacred sex. If you're talking about prayer, I want to elevate it to sacred prayer. I want to elevate everything that we do into a moment or two a day of something very sacred and very elevated, the only word I can think of, something that's, you know, risen up above the mundane. Every morning I wake up, I light a piece of incense in honor of the goddess, in honor of the god, in honor of my own divinity, and I offer gratitude, prayer, thanks, you know, requests, and that's how I start my day. It sets the whole tone.
Yep. It's funny, I do exactly the same thing.
Oh,
I have my
wonderful.
I have my little altar, and that's the first thing I have to do is get my incense lit. You know, honor everyone on the table and who's not on the table, and then then I go, and I feel incomplete if I don't do it. You know, if you rush out one day and you don't get to do it, you feel very incomplete.
You know what's funny? I do when that happens for me. Let's say I'm driving and I'm like, oh my god, such a busy morning. I didn't, you know, didn't really light incense. I didn't really take that time. I will pull over. And I will close my eyes, and I will offer that same devotion in that moment, and then my day will reset. So that's simple goddess magic. Do you have to have an altar? No. Do you have to light incense? No.
No. It's just it becomes a ritual, really, though.
You know?
But yeah, because I do that too. It's like if I have to rush out, and I'm like, God, I didn't have time. I'm in the car, and I do the same thing. I have my little thing there. Because,
I love it.
You know, because I mean, whenever I'm in the car anyway, I'm always like, okay, I need my angels of protection around me. So, God, that's cool.
So good to hear.
Now, you were talking before you know, about how you didn't have the connection with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So how does your book then teach mothers? I mean, well,
it does. Mm-hmm. I have a whole whole section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know that came from your personal experience.
Yes, it did. So in the book I mentioned, you know, mothers, if you're reading this, teach your daughters that they are special, that they are sacred and divine, and that they are carrying, embodying this essence that we're teaching in this book, that we're returning to. And, you know, many young girls, young women, I have two very young clients, and they both are very aware of their divinity, very aware of their goddessness. And to me, that is a revolution. Because mm-hmm. when I was growing up, you know, I'm 55, so I was growing up as a young person in the 60s and 70s. There was nothing like that. I didn't learn that from my mother. She didn't learn it from hers. You know, we didn't have that. And I just suspected it. I just had this innate suspicion of that I'm special, not just because I want to be, but because I'm a woman. Like, there's something special about this.
Yeah.
And so I ask women, I invite women, you know, there's an inspiration there for moms to teach their daughters, and if they don't know how, then they heal themselves, teach themselves, and pass that on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
yes,
the key. Is bring yourself to it first, and then teach it.
Oh, yeah, makes a lot of sense, because you can't
mm-hmm.
teach it unless you know it
exactly.
or experience it.
Exactly. Everything, you know, I do a lot of teaching on many, many, many different topics, and I'm one of my favorite things to tell all attendees is I'm not teaching anything I haven't learned myself. There's nothing inauthentic here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the best way to teach is from what you know really well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yep. And, you know, and then, you know, there's a lot of women out there who have very busy lives. You know, they're running their house, they're running their career, and stressed out. You know, and
yep.
they may say to you, "Well, gosh, I just don't have time for this."
Mm-hmm.
How do they
mm-hmm.
incorporate this into what they do when they're that busy?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. And what I ask them to do is 5 minutes of stillness every day. Start there, and that means you turn phones off. You get away from your computer and you just sit. You can be open-eyed, close-eyed. You can even take a walk. But 5 minutes of that time that is away from technology and away from talking to other people and just allows the female body of energy, the female essence, to reset. Men do not need as much. They need some, but not as much as women. Women need a lot of stillness. If they don't receive it, they really start to wobble, you know, in the world. They don't really perform properly. And so the modern businesswoman, the modern entrepreneur, the modern CEO woman, she is having an imbalance because of this. And she's too busy to take the time. But 5 minutes a day, everyone has that.
Oh, sure. You can go in the bathroom and shut the door for
exactly.
5 minutes.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
Or take a 5-minute shower.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And from
yeah.
that 5 minutes, we add, you know, new things all the time. So you got your 5 minutes done, now add another five. And pretty soon you're up to 15 minutes of stillness, which is great. 30 minutes is ideal. And
mm-hmm.
15 minutes is a wonderful start. Then I ask them to take a bath once a week. And then work it up to daily. I've been doing a daily bath for 20 years now, and it has changed my life.
Really?
It has. Yes, it has changed my life. I take a daily bath. That's how I start my day, and sometimes how I finish my day as well. And it has really changed my life. There's something very nourishing, and most especially for women, about being in the bathtub, being in water, immersed in water.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a water person, but I cannot sit in a bathtub. It's just
that's so interesting.
I'll take the longest showers, but no, the bathtub. Oof.
And sometimes I can't get out of the bathtub. Like I actually resent when I have to get out of the bathtub.
Yeah, I can be like that in the shower, but sitting in the tub is just I have never been able to do that. It's just I don't know.
I have a fantasy that I can run my business from my bathtub. You know, everything I just, I would really like
to. You probably could.
I probably could. I might be quite pickled by the end of it, but yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So now, does the book, do elderly women relate to your book as well?
Yes, absolutely. And being a woman coming into her elder years, I felt it very important to discuss that. And at the end of the book is a wonderful chapter on the maiden, the mother, the crone. And I've renamed them as the budding, the blossoming, and the rooting woman. So you're either the bud, the blossom, or root time of your life. And so, yes, it's very much embraced. Every aspect of womanhood is embraced within the book because we experience those on so many different levels, those seasons that we go through as women. We experience them literally via our age, and then we experience them figuratively. As an example, many women in their crone or root stage, which is the elder stage, will experience a reawakening of their sexuality, and suddenly they're a maiden again. You know, they feel youthful and they feel vibrant. And many women start new businesses at this time. I'm reinventing myself in my 50s. You know, and that is a cyclical overlay of the physical season that you go through. So it's an energetic season that you go through over and over, all of the different ones.
So, but when you say elderly, what age group are you talking?
I would put elderly at 50 and over, and I don't mean elderly as in senior citizen. That would start in your 70s, I believe.
Okay.
But elder, elderly is probably the wrong
one. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, elder. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm entering into my 50s at 55, so I'm an elder now. I'm no longer a maiden. I'm not in the mother era, you know, time. And so now I enter my elder years where I am passing wisdom on, and I'm sharing wisdom, and I'm teaching women who are younger than me, women who are older than me. And so there's a lot of beauty and sweetness. And I'll tell you, I really didn't know what to expect during my menopausal elder years. And it's the sweetest time. I don't know. It's filled with turbulence and upheaval as well. And every season is, you know, you start a new season, it sort of upheaves you from the last one. So there's a lot of transition, and I'm, you know, sometimes on my knees, like, okay, make it stop, mommy, make it stop. Like, you know, but for the most part, overall, I will say this is one of the sweetest, calmest times of my life. It's a very precious time. So anyone who's worried about menopause, you know, send me an email. We'll do some work on it because it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm going to be 55 this year.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, and but my menopause is done for me. Somehow I kind of went right through it, which was kind of nice. I've had my little ups and downs, you know, the hot flashes, but
I'd say this year. I'm so excited.
Yeah. but my spiritual journey really came to the forefront, like, 4 years ago is when it completely changed. I mean, just shifted, you know, because I was able to open myself up more. My responsibilities, you know, toward kids were older, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I can see, you know, how this time of your life, you do become an elder.
Yes.
So I was like, I don't feel elderly, but I feel like an elder.
No, not at all. But elderly is very different. Elderly isn't a season. Elderly is sort of like a condition, if you will. And being an elder is an archetype. It's a persona. It's a seasonal event. Being a maiden, being a mother, those are also archetypal seasonal events. And so that's, I think, very important. Like, at first, you know, I did a sizzle reel for a television show several years ago that unfortunately never aired, but it was so much fun. And I remember one of the questions, because I was a life coach on the show, and one of the questions that they asked me, they said, the producer said, so, wow, you've got so much wisdom, and you're really showing these younger women. He goes, you're like a really good elder role model. And I was actually 50 at the time. And I remember looking at him with this blank stare, because I felt 35. You know, in my mind.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and, like, I gulped and I said, because I realized in that moment I am becoming an elder, and I had better orient my understanding of that and embrace it and find the sweet spot and become the best. I literally what I call it, rock the elder. I'm going to rock this elder stage, you know. So I think it's fun when you can really, you know, move through it in a way that you're not resentful or you're not fearful. Mm-hmm. You just say, wow, what's in store? I'm so excited.
Exactly. So in your book, you know, out of all the myths and goddesses that you researched, mm-hmm. who are your favorites?
Oh, such a hard question. I have to say that the ones in the book are the cream of my crop here. They're the ones, like, they came, you know, they're really the ones I love and work with a lot. But I have to say, if I had to pick some favorites, and, you know, goddesses, forgive me, mm-hmm. Lilith, when I wrote that chapter, it was so powerful, and she wanted to take over the entire book. I almost had a moment, like I had an identity crisis of the book, you know, when I was writing her chapter, and I called the publishers and I said, I think Lilith wants to be the whole book, and there was quiet and silence for a moment, and they said, well, could you please ask her to just take up one chapter? So I had to ask Lilith, please calm down. But she, I have to say, when I wrote her chapter, my life really took her journey. She put me on a journey, and I went into the high desert to devote some time to her, and I did a ritual in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a windstorm, in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And it was crazy. I was by myself in a strange place, just like Lilith was, in the middle of the desert. And I was going through things in my own life that were causing grief, which Lilith is about grief. And I was just so enamored with her power. Like, she came to me in that desert. She came to me and through me, you know, her wind, you know, rushed through me. And she tried to blow me over and take my clothes off in the desert. It was so wild.
Wow.
And that's who she is. She's so wild. And I enjoyed meeting her that way so much. I feel so humbled and honored, but she really has a sweet spot in my heart because of her incredible power and the way she works with our grieving and our loss, which I've experienced a lot in my life. And so I really wanted to, you know, find a mother essence to, you know, bring that through for me, and as, you know, a divine mother. And so Lilith is a powerful, strong, stable, but wild and chaotic energy. She is like lightning, and she actually, her origin comes from ancient Sumerian goddesses called the Lelitu, and they are weather goddesses of the desert. So she's lightning, she's fury, she's storm, she's, you know, sandstorm. It's, you know, power. It's our female primitive sexual power. It's wild.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't mess with Lilith. She messes with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I had such affection for her also, and this is interesting too. She was very demonized, you know, very, very demonized by patriarchal religion and political leadership. And so she was put into a category where she was forbidden. And so she was written out of the Bible. She was excised from all, no one was allowed to pay attention to her. And she had curses written against her, and houses had amulets to keep her out. And in the chapter, I remember, it was such a misunderstood goddess. In the chapter, she came to me in such a way, I've never witnessed such a powerful goddess coming in this way. She came to me with such reverence for us as women, as opposed to us coming to her with reverence for her. And she asked to please be invited back. To please be invited back. And so I rewrote a very powerful Sumerian curse against her. A very, very, very brutal curse against her. And I rewrote it as an invitation for her to come back. And I cried after I wrote it. And I even now I have chills just going up and down.
Me too.
My whole body's
tingling.
Me too. She's present with us right now as we're talking about this. To bring her back is to bring back the departure point where we lost touch with the goddess. To bring her back is to bring back that point of contact. And so she came humbly to us. And her energy came and asked us to please invite her back. And so she really starts the book. You know, she starts the whole journey for us.
Wow, interesting. Well, that's good because, you know, I mean, if people listening, if you do work with, you know, people will work with guides and goddesses and whatever, see if you can connect with Lilith and invite her in and be someone that you can, work with. Cool.
It would be gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah, my whole body's just going.
I know. I felt that too. And that's how I know when spirit is very, very near. I'm sure you know you work with angels and spirit energy. When we are being, when we're in the presence of their essence and their light, they will tingle the entire body. It's electricity is what it is. It's the electricity of,
Yep, that's how I always, there are times when I do when I'm doing reading and you're giving the information and all of a sudden, you know, you just start shaking in your chair going, God, you know, the tingling and the, it's always really cool because then you know you're really connected.
Yes, I love those moments.
So who else do you really love?
You know, the other two that were really powerful for me were White Buffalo Calf Woman. That story was beyond sacred to write. She came through, and so did one of my own animal totems, who's not in her original story, but really asked to be invited in, and so I put him in, or her in, the raven, the crow. And it was such... I mean, I know I use this word all the time, but I felt so reverent writing that story because her story is one of incredible power about the earth and our connection to it and all life upon the earth and how that comes through the feminine. And so to hear her words of hope and hear her prophecies of wholeness for life on earth, I really felt her in my life. And you know, I went on a trip with my publishers to Sedona, one of my favorite places, and we were sitting around having some chat and some, you know, we were chatting and we were having some appetizers and some bottles of wine, and one of the publishers said to me, "Would you please read White Buffalo Calf Woman? You know, we're here in Sedona, we're on sacred land. Let's read her." So we put some flutes, you know, native flute music, and I read the myth. And when I finished, we were just quiet. We couldn't really say anything.
Wow.
It was just this, you know, palpable feeling of her presence in our lives and her wisdom and her teachings. And the story is so beautifully, you know, it's such a beautiful telling of her story and the sacredness of her gift to us as women, as people, as humans. And she's a very, very sacred goddess for me.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, I work out of a store called White Buffalo Spiritual Healing and Gifts, and the owner, that is her, she is the White Buffalo Woman. She's a shaman.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
yeah.
Wow, so, we have to get my book in her store.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes,
absolutely.
I do. I'm going to have to get the name of that store from you when we're done.
For sure. Your book would definitely sell there. That's cool. She's very powerful because she sits above our store too. We can feel her. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think the owner and you would both really like this myth. I think you would enjoy it very much.
Absolutely. Because I was looking through your stuff and I started reading it and I'm going, oh my God, I don't even want to put this down.
Very
fascinating. Yes. And then do you also, I know you have a story about Eve as well.
Yes, Eve. Oh, and you know, Eve and Lilith are bookends. They come together. I couldn't write one without the other because they are actually spiritual sisters, soul sisters. And Eve, you know, her story came to me it was very interesting because Eve is, she was, where Lilith was demonized, Eve was, she was pacified. So she wasn't, you know, written in the Bible as a strong woman whatsoever. She's only mentioned, I think, twice. Mm-hmm. She has a very, very minimal presence, and she just, and she's the mother of all life on earth, according to the Bible.
Right.
And, you know, which, and I'm not quoting this to be in any way religious. This is, we're looking at mythology, so we're looking at the story, the creation myth of Eve. And for being the mother of creation, according to her myth, she is mentioned just a handful of times, and that's it. So she was written out too, but she had to have some mention because we had to come from some woman, you know, so they
right.
put her in there. Right? Thank you so much, patriarchal leaders. So, thanks for the mention. But Eve, you know, when I was writing her, rewriting her myth, retelling her myth, and she was coming through for me, she kept, she's very playful, I have to admit. I was surprised. She has a playful nature, very, very sensitive nature. She is so sensitive. But what surprised me the most about her was her power. She has a sense of power as well, and she asked for me to tell the true story of her, and that is how much she took on in the role of that myth, and that it was rewritten away from her. So she asked to be the one who named things on earth, whereas in the Bible it mentions Adam.
Oh.
She asked, mm-hmm, and she asked to not have eaten the apple, but to have, or the fruit, but to have pondered it and to have dreamed of eating it and realizing what could come of it, but having left Eden, not cast out, but wanting to leave because she had been awakened. You know, the leaving of Eden. Yeah, very interesting. And I, and you know, when I wrote it, I thought, this is either going to piss 100% of the readers off, or it's going to cause quite a bit of discussion and intrigue. You know, I don't know which, and it's done 50-50. And believe it or not, not one woman has been upset with it. It's been men who are angry with that retelling, which is very funny to me. I thought, wow, really? You know, but that's okay. You know, I write what comes, and I feel good about it and strong about it, and also honor the fact that these goddesses came with such strong, you know, words and such strong messages for us today. And it's a good reminder that we don't know, we really don't know. Someone, you know, a very, very long time ago, thousands of years ago, just like me, sat down and wrote a myth.
Mm-hmm.
And just like any other retellings of story, I believe Shakespeare retold myths, and I believe, you know, even today, filmographers retell myths. Filmmakers, you know, take myth and, you know, spin it in their direction. So this has been going on for centuries. We don't know what really happened in that myth. We just know what's been repeated over and over and over again. So retelling a myth is our way of capturing, recapturing, reconnecting to that essence and making it part of our life so that we can relate to it. And that, to me, is a very powerful thing for women.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you had touched upon the rituals that you teach women to do. You know, we kind of talked about that a little bit. But can you go into a little bit more detail on what you teach and then how it would help someone to go through these rituals?
Yes. I teach very, very simple ones. You can be very elaborate, and I am at times with ritual and ceremony, and I love elaborate ritual and ceremony. However, teaching it is something that a lot of women, you know, they want and they crave and they love, and it's natural to us. We love that kind of magic. But what I find is today we're busy. We're very, very busy. And there are many reasons for that, but a lot of women will move away from the idea of an elaborate, you know, 7-day ritual where they have to spend a lot of money on the materials or, you know, a lot of time procuring them. And so I really just brought it all down to its basic essence, which was a moment or two, at the most an hour, with the goddess of your choice and your own divinity, your own beauty, your own sacredness, your own specialness. And do that once a month. And the rituals I chose to focus on were ones that were very accessible, which is lighting a candle, setting up an altar space. For me, altar space, I have them all over the house. They're not very formal. It's like right now I'm looking at my desk, and here's I have three altars sitting on my desk, and they look like this. Three rocks that are very dear to me in a configuration. Uh-huh. A beautiful statue that was given to me with a candle holder in front of her. A picture of my nephew and my niece, one of my nieces and my nephew, in a beautiful frame. Those are three altar pieces or altar setups that are very simple, that someone walking into my home wouldn't say, oh, she's a goddess-worshipping woman, look at these seven altars that she has. You know, and with it, which there's nothing wrong with, but these are subtle, simple ways that all over my home, I look at them and I'm reminded, oh, the goddess is here. Oh, mm-hmm. I embody her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what I'm interested in teaching the modern woman today, is how to set this up so that it seamlessly floats in your life, works in your life. Taking a bath, lighting a candle, setting up an altar, writing an intention on a piece of paper and burning it in your candle. Learning to make a little bit of incense, maybe an anointing oil. And walking about your day, knowing that these are things that elevate you, that bring you into sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you know, we have a lot of similarities, you and I.
I love that. That
yeah,
so
I was just
happy.
Sitting here going, gosh, I wish you lived here.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going on the road with many things, so we'll talk about your store and offering events there. That would be really fun.
Oh, that would be fantastic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So tell me, so now your book, you know, I know a lot of people have written about goddesses. How does your book differ from other books and what people have said?
Good, wonderful question. There are so many goddess books, and thank God if there are. It makes me enormously happy, not only that they're there, and I'm honored to even be a part of that stream of information. I would say that my book offers a very accessible, real, stable, grounded, non-foofy, non-new-agey presentation of a very ancient teaching, something that is our birthright, that we deserve to know as women, and it's written and presented in a way that is extraordinarily accessible and very current. You know, it shows you where we've come from, where we are, and where we can go with this. And for me, that's what I want. I want to find out all the ancient yumminess, and I want to figure out how I can use it today in my modern life, because I don't live, on a rocky, castle. I don't live in a castle on a rocky, precipice with the ocean crashing up against, and I'm not, I can't devote that way. I wish I kind of lived there, but I don't. I want to know how to do it in my modern home,
mm-hmm.
in my modern life.
Yes. Yes. Cool. So, again, the name of her book is You Are Woman, You Are Divine. And where can they find your book?
On my website and on Amazon.com. My website is backtothegoddess.com.
Okay.
And you'll also find lots of yummy stuff to yummy accoutrement to the goddess, lots of fun stuff to look at and read and purchase. And there's a retreat coming up, Moonwild Goddess Retreat in Sedona at the end of April. And that's going to be absolutely incredibly divine and yummy. Lots of good goddess ritual. And we have some wonderful other practitioners coming through to teach us about the many ways that you can be a goddess on earth.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how long is the retreat for?
The retreat is a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's all inclusive at a wonderful retreat center and on sacred land. Sedona is exquisite, and whenever I am there, everything slips away. Everything, the outside world just slips away, and I find that I am so connected to the land, so connected to Goddess. It's a natural energy vortex of that there, and it's a very deep red color, a beautiful sandstone red. They call it the red rock. And that is the womb, that is the void, that is the blood, and that's the mother. So we're going to be on very sacred land.
Ooh, that sounds nice. And all that information's on your website?
It is. You'll look in the shop. You'll find everything, the retreat, all the accoutrements, the book, all of that.
Okay. Okay. And then if people want to get a hold of you, do they get a hold of you through the website as well?
Yes. There's a contact link right through the website.
Perfect. Okay. Gosh, this hour went really, really fast. It did, yeah. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with before we end?
Yes, and thank you for asking. My favorite thing to remind myself every day and to remind women everywhere is you are special. You are sacred. You embody something that is one of the highest, most magnificent essences in the world. You embody that, and don't forget it.
Awesome. I hope you guys wrote that down, and if you didn't, you can listen to the replay. Because, you know, that's something that you can also, you can write it out, you can stick it on a mirror,
yes,
you can stick it on your computer. It's just a very nice affirmation mm-hmm. for you to really look at and repeat over and over. We have to remind ourselves daily, you know, just how sacred we are.
Truly. Thank
yeah.
you. I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Renee. I really, really appreciate you coming on. I guess Beth must have gotten busy since she's out of town, but I know she'll listen to the replay and we'll be in touch, and you have a fabulous day.
Thank you. It was a joy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.